Father in heaven, we're thankful that we can come into your house of worship again, that we can come around your word, not only through live streaming, but through the fellowship with one another, and just being here in your house of worship with each other, Lord. Though we are few in numbers, your word tells us and teaches us that where two or three are gathered in your midst, that you will be here. There's a little bit more than two or three, Lord, but we just ask and pray that you would come and you would be with us and that you would bless us. Lord, I pray that you would give me the thoughts on my hearts and the words upon my lips to speak the message that you would have us to hear and to understand and to be encouraged this morning. That, Lord, and all that we would do would be to your honor and to your glory. This is my prayer. We ask this, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we start reading the scriptures and meditate upon God's word, I'd like to ask a question that perhaps many a times we've heard the phrase before, and to pose it is it what you know or who you know? Is it what you know or is it who you know? Now that's kind of a broad statement, but that will kind of we can take that question. And we can apply it to our physical life. We can also apply it to our spiritual life. Is it what you know? Or is it who you know? Turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 3. And I'm going to read that. And we're going to be looking in the life of Apostle Paul. And his teachings. And also his conversion. Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may be apprehended, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be made perfect, be thus minded. If any in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together with me, and mark them which walk also, as ye have us for an example. For many, of whom I have told you often, and I tell you even now weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things." The meaning of the saying is that people get ahead in this life based on their connections. When we say it's not what I know, but who I know. Not on their skills or their knowledge. It's saying that people often advance based on friendship and not on the actual on what they actually know and what they're doing in their job. We see this every single day, and it happens all the time. In the corporate world, there are people that are advanced over other people, not because of what they know, but because of who they know and the relationship they have with those that are higher in management. There is some merit in having knowledge, though. Obviously, you have to know you have to have some kind of knowledge. You can't advance by not having any knowledge or being completely clueless. And when we're growing up, there's importance of building in what we know. But as we grow older, it then becomes more advantageous on who we know and not so much on what we know if we want to advance. And who you know might matter more, or at least be just as important as what you know. And this brings me to the Philippians chapter 3, to Apostle Paul. I was thinking about him as I was doing my studying and reading, because there's another element of this that I would like to talk about. And I kind of keep that in the back of your mind, because we're going to be talking about, Apostle Paul talks about righteousness. And I'm going to try to, with the help of the Lord, kind of bring those two together. As he's writing to the book of Philippians, he writes and he tells them that he was circumcised the eighth day. He was born of the stock of Israel. He was the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew. He was a Pharisee and zealous in persecuting the church. And righteousness in the law, he said, he's blameless. I want to kind of look at it as an example in his life here, because when we think of what you know and not who you know, we think of, you know, we look at his life, his when he gives his testimony. If you turn to the Acts chapter 8, even in the book of Philippians, he puts down that he persecuted the church and he was very, very zealous. And if we look at Acts chapter 8, it says, "Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was great persecution at the church was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and imprisoning the women and the men. Therefore, they scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word." You see, Apostle Paul had knowledge. Apostle Paul had the knowledge of the law. And because there were those that were not following the law, he then took on that responsibility of being the enforcer, that you have to follow the law. And he had knowledge of the law. And he said that he was blameless in the law. Until when? "And Saul, yet breathing out," in the chapter 9 of Acts, "and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired from him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." Continuing what he thought he knew and what he was doing was right. "And as he sojourned, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?' And he said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, Paul, trembling and astonishing, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said, arise and go to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And when the men which sojourned with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. I think we've all read this conversion of his conversion many, many times. You see, he hadn't had knowledge, but he did not know Jesus. He did not know God. And what he did, he thought was he was doing right. You know, as he was on his way to Damascus, he had this reputation where a lot of Christians were afraid of him, including Ananias, because Ananias appeared unto God Ananias and says, one is going to be coming to you. Go to the street which is called Straight and inquire, for there's one called Saul of Tarsus. Behold, he prayeth. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered and said, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done by the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call upon thy name. You see, there was a level of fear of Apostle Paul, because he had this head knowledge. Him being a Pharisee. And the Pharisees would enforce, you must obey the law, every dot and tittle of it, when they themselves could not. And it wasn't only him. There were others that were fearful of him. And Apostle Paul knew this. And there was a conversion that took place within his heart. And as he learned about Jesus Christ, and as he accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior, he then understood what true righteousness is. You know, we talk about righteousness, of doing the right thing, things that we think we believe are doing, we are right, and what we do is right in God's eyes. And sometimes we have to stop and think, is this really what God wants us to do? Are we really doing what God wants us to do? See, Apostle Paul thought he was until God stopped him and says, you know, I've got something else for you, because what you're doing is not right. There's a better way. And he's writing to the Philippians. And when he writes to the Philippians and he talks about the righteousness of God, the only way to attain that righteousness of God is to know God. Not to know him in head knowledge, but to know him as your Savior. To have that relationship with him. We talked about in Bible class this morning about the new heaven and the new earth. And where God will be, where God will be the his people. He will see his people. He will provide for his people. There will be that relationship. So how do we get this righteousness from God? You see, because in Matthew he says, for I say unto you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. How many of us know of people that say, I don't have to be baptized. I don't have to. If I'm a good person, I'm going to go to heaven because I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing good deeds. I don't have to. Just being good, but being a good person will get me into heaven. But Jesus here says otherwise. So how then do we take on that righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees? And that's by accepting Christ in our lives. It's by asking him to forgive us our sins. It's by repenting. It's by being born again. And scripture says then that God will impute the righteousness of Christ upon us so that you and I can stand before God blameless. On this earth, we will fail. We will not be perfect. We cannot be perfect. We haven't taken on that body of perfection. But the righteousness of Christ imputed upon us for what he did on the cross of Calvary, we now can come before the Father and call him Abba Father. We now can come before him and he can look at us, and what he sees from us is the robe of righteousness that Christ has given to us. 1 Peter 2:24 says that he himself bore our sins in his body on that tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. And Apostle Paul then says, if we read in Romans, says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because that's what has been imputed upon us, was the grace of righteousness. Do we willfully sin because we have this righteousness of God within us? Do we have that mindset? No. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all righteousness. 1 John 1:19 tells us that. To pursue righteousness means to turn away from our natural sinful desires and to turn to Christ and his perfect and righteous ways. Although through obedience to his command, God is preparing us for eternal life with him, aligning us with his righteousness in Christ. See, Apostle Paul understood this. But Apostle Paul had that passion and that desire he had for Christ. And he says that the things that were gained to me, those things I counted loss. Do we have that desire? Do we have that passion? Do we have a passion to know him more? Because he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. We take on that righteousness of Christ. But once we've taken on that righteousness of Christ, once we put on the robe that he's given to us, do we want to know more of him? Do we want to take the time to read and to know of him and to understand of his love and his mercy and his grace? That's why he says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And Apostle Paul is not talking about a level of perfection. He's talking about a level of completion. Being in Christ Jesus, we are complete. And when I think about righteousness and I think about my righteousness, and then the term self-righteous comes to mind. We often label somebody self-righteous that thinks that they're smarter than we are, or that they think they're a little bit more, you see the arrogance in them, or they have a heart of pride. But you see, unless we have the righteousness of Christ, we have our own self-righteousness that gets us nowhere. I'm thinking about the portion of scripture in Matthew where two went up to the temple to pray, a Pharisee and the tax collector. And here the Pharisee said unto him, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this man. I do this and I do this and I do this. Talking about himself and his self-righteousness. And what does he say? This is found in Luke 18:10-14. Two men went up to the temple to pray, a Pharisee and the other tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to the heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Do we find ourselves in the same, just like the Pharisee, where we elevate ourselves above somebody else. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this person. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like that person. And he says, I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You see, God's righteousness is not earned. It's obtained from God through faith in Jesus. No person can earn it for themselves. Rather than it is part of the believer's sonship, faith, obedience, because of what Jesus did for us and what his accomplishment was for us on the cross. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 tells us, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and it is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so any man can boast. And Apostle Paul knew that. And Apostle Paul said, it's not by my deeds, and the deeds that I've did were my own righteousness. They were not the righteousness of God. And therefore, I cannot attain salvation by my own righteousness. That's why he said, I count everything but loss for the excellency and the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And what things were gained to me, those things I count as loss. Have we looked into our lives and said, you know, the things that I've attained, the things that I have gone, are they for my glory or for the glory of God? Is it something that God is pleased with me about? Or is it something that pleases me? In our lives, do we do good deeds to attain righteousness? Or because of his righteousness, we do good deeds? So as we circle back around, and ask that question, is it what I know that will get me into heaven, or is it who I know that will get me into heaven? And if I know him, do I have that zeal and that passion, the desire to walk a closer walk with him? Have you stopped and taken inventory of your lives or of your life to see just how close are you walking with Jesus? Are you doing good because of your own righteousness where you want the credit to be for you? Or are you doing it because you want the credit to be for the Lord? Do you have that desire and that passion and that energy to know him more like Apostle Paul did? And are you trying to get to heaven by your own merits? Or are you relying on the grace that Christ imputed upon you and me? Remember, to get to heaven, it's not what you know. Though you have to have some knowledge. Scripture even says that even a fool can enter in. It's not difficult. But a lot of times, through our own pride and arrogance, we make it very difficult. And that's what separates us from him. So as you go out, I challenge you to take inventory of your life. Take inventory of your life and think about the righteousness that God has given to you and to me. You know, if we look at Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 4, and the book of Romans, it talks a lot about the righteousness of God and man. And if you look at Romans chapter 4, the whole chapter is kind of dedicated to Abraham. You see, Abraham believed God and it was counted for him for righteousness. God made a covenant with Abraham. But Apostle Paul says that, was he righteous? Was Abraham righteous before the covenant? Before and part of that covenant is he had to be circumcised. Or was his righteousness after imputed to him after the circumcision? Apostle Paul says, no, it was before, because he believed him and it counted to him as righteousness. Do you and I have that faith? Do you and I have that hope? Do you know who Jesus is? You know, the devils know and they tremble, but they don't have that relationship with him. So when we reflect on our lives and we think of our walk with our Lord and we look around at others that think that they know based off of head knowledge, they may know the scripture, they may know the Bible. And there are those that don't want to give their lives to the Lord because they look at us as Christians and say, well, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be a Christian. But it's the grace of God and his forgiveness. That brings us where we can stand in front of him. So remember, it's not what you know, but who you know. May God bless his word.